the day. We read the latest jaw-dropping headlines. We pick the channels and sites that slant towards our own beliefs. We hear political figures do rhetoric about fake news, persuading us to lose trust in the media, to doubt all journalists and reporters, to instead follow the leader on Twitter, to go directly to the belly of the bias. To go directly to the belly of the bias. But forget the clever banter, ignore the witty retort, renounce persuasion of propaganda, dismiss the orchestrated event, reject the scripted reality TV, disregard the distractions of absurdity, follow the facts, pay attention to policy, watch what your government is doing, not what your government is saying, read the words of journalists with integrity, and decide for yourself what you believe. Decide for yourself what is right, what is ethical. And when immoral actions are taken in your name, fight. When immoral actions are taken in your name, what is witnessed. The press is composed of citizens with a duty to report to fellow citizens. The importance of the press cannot be overstated. Freedom of press has been declared a human right by the United Nations. Freedom of press protects the communication of information and opinions from the interference of government. When immoral actions are taken in your name,
welcome to Connected Revelation on Freedomizer Radio. It is Sunday, May 26th. I am your host, Annie Booker.
And I'm Joyce Hope.
And we're coming at you from two different states today. Usually we are both in Minnesota, and today we are not. Today I am in Minnesota, and my friend Joyce is on vacation.
Yes, in the sunny state of Florida.
Nice. Let's compare temperatures. What temperature is it in Florida right now?
99.
Really? Okay, you win.
Yeah.
It's not that hot here. It's really warm and sunny. I'm looking. I'm still. Oh, it's 72.
Okay, well, that actually might feel better.
Yeah, no, it's really nice today.
I saw pictures on Facebook from people, and I was like, wow, it looks like it's very nice in Minnesota right now. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, yesterday and today were really nice, and then tomorrow, Memorial Day, we get back into the rain for the next, like, 4 or 5 days again, so.
Don't say that.
I know, I'm sorry. So happy Memorial Day. We thank all of the people that have been in service or that are in service for our country. It's a day to memorialize their work.
And so, anybody who gave their life for our country, yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So what has your week been like, Joyce? It's been crazy with travel with kids, I'm sure.
Yeah, okay, so this whole vacation was booked on an extremely tight budget.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Everything has been, you know, when we got here, we went grocery shopping right away. We're staying in an extremely inexpensive hotel that does have a pool, which is all that my kids really need.
Yep.
And so it's been an interesting experience because, you know, we have a rental car and all of those different things. And I just think in some ways it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
but, you know, and what I've really, which has been interesting because we haven't really gone on many vacations as a family before, is what I'm learning is what I like and don't like. And I gotta be honest, I'm not sure that I would want to do another theme park experience.
Really?
Anytime soon, especially not, there's so many people. I'm not a crowd person, so,
yeah.
You know, waiting in line for 2 hours for anything just isn't worth it to me.
Right.
At all. So,
well, this is a,
so I was like,
kind
all
of
right.
A downtime, isn't it? A downtime. I mean, what, it's May? School isn't out yet, but still crazy busy, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a lot more local right
okay.
now because it's Memorial Day weekend. So,
oh, right.
But there's still long, you know, there's still long lines. And, I mean, they're not as long as I know that they would be in 2 or 3 weeks from now.
Right.
But I just... I just don't have it in me to lie.
I hear you.
I have no patience.
Yeah.
So how about you? How was your week in Minnesota?
Well, it was rainy. We celebrated my third child's 6th birthday today. We usually wait till Memorial Day, but the place we rent was busy, so we had it today. And as you know, just like vacations, getting ready for a birthday party, no matter how simple it seems or how minimal you do it, there's always a ton of work and a little bit of stress that goes into that. But it's over and done with, and we're back home, and everything went off without a hitch. So, you know, it's good.
Yeah, and those cupcakes you made for him are adorable.
Yeah,
and I had to laugh because
great.
He's like, "What are those? What are those?"
So,
and I was like, "Go, Annie." Yes.
Right. So the story goes is, yeah, when my son turned like 2 or 3, I made these look-alike Hostess cupcakes for his birthday, and they turned out really well. And this year he just couldn't decide what he wanted. And usually I ask the kids what cake theme they want, and I really try hard to fulfill their desire. And this year he just could not decide on anything. And I said, how about if I make these great cupcakes? You know, I made them for you when you were 2 or 3. You fill them with marshmallow and frosting. And he said, great, that sounds great. So I made them. And then yesterday I presented them to him. And I was like, look, I made you Hostess cupcakes. And he said, cool. What are Hostess cupcakes? And I was like, oh, right. Yeah, this doesn't mean anything to you. So I had to look up, you know, Google a picture of Hostess cupcakes and be like, see? You can get them in a package at the store. And then he was like, okay, whatever. I mean, that meant nothing to him because he had nothing to compare against. So
right.
They were delicious. And I was able to make like a gluten-free vegan version for those who had restrictions. Yeah. And then I made like a full, the other ones I just used, you know, I still use my Khorasan wheat and, you know, cane sugar. So there's still like great ingredients in both. One was for people with restrictions. The other one was not. So it was pretty sweet. It was cool. And yeah, we had the party at 9:30 this morning and it's over now and we're home and, you know, I'm off the hook for another few months until the next birthday comes.
That's great. We actually ended up at there's a bakery down here. I guess they're based out of New York, but it's called Erin McKenna. I don't know if you've heard of it at all.
I've
but they
heard
do
of that before,
allergy.
Yeah.
They do, like, allergy-free stuff. So we were able to take my youngest, who has never had a cupcake in his life, there and got him one. And it was so cute because we got home. He was asleep when we were at Disney Springs, which I had to giggle.
Oh.
I was like, seriously, we drove all the way over here for you.
Right. Yeah.
And so we came back to the hotel, and he woke up, and I said, look, do you want your cupcake? And he was like, he held on to it. He looked at Dad, and he said, my cupcake, Dad. And then he proceeded to eat all the frosting off the top, take one bite out of it, and say, "You gross, that's disgusting." And then
oh, that's funny. Oh, yes.
And that's... I was like, we spent like an hour and a half.
Right.
Getting this thing for you.
Well, that was Sam today. Yeah, he ate the top off of it, and then he left the rest of like. He didn't even care. Like, he cared because it looked cool and it was exciting and the whole event. And then he ate the top off. And then he's like, okay, I'm full. I'm done. I'm like, okay. I mean, right.
I know. Not to mention how much I spent on the thing.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I mean,
right.
I was like, well, alrighty then. So glad we made that. That good thing Mom got one for herself, too.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that funny? Like, what kids think is really special, and then what adults, what we perceive would be a huge deal, and then what actually is a huge deal. Like, for Sam today, the big deal was seeing his friends, running around the park, playing in the sand, blowing out a candle. I mean, he didn't really care about the things that I put the time into, which is always a good reminder to just do your best and not freak out, because the kids aren't going to remember that part anyway.
I know, right? So funny.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
yeah.
Honestly, like, we went to the beach today, which was
Ooh.
A drive. And the whole way, my 7-year-old was like, I don't want to go to the beach. I just want to swim in a hotel pool.
Right.
Like, we are going.
We're going to the beach. Yeah.
You have never been to the ocean before, and we are going. You know, and so the whole way there, he didn't want to go. Drive too long, blah, 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 blah. Gets there. We can't get him out of the ocean.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
Yep, sounds
and
familiar.
I'm like,
yes, yes. You didn't
like,
even want to go.
Yeah. I know. And we're trying to get out and leave and get back to the hotel, and he's like, just kept going right back in.
Right, yes.
Which, you know. So I was like, well, I'm glad that we like it now. Not loving the amount of sand we brought back with us. But
oh, of course.
I'm not a sand person.
No, it always sounds better than it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the beach. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's nice. Like, I think in the future, should I want to take the children to the ocean on a beach, I shall stay at a hotel on the beach.
Yeah, right.
Where you're close. You don't have to, like, drive in wet clothes and, like, really, we don't know where we're at. We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, we Google where we want to go. The map takes us there, and we just sort of do it.
Right.
You know?
That's okay.
So,
that's good.
You know. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think the kids got a taste of all these different things. And
oh, for sure.
They'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited about our interview today with Stephen Hebert. That you had a chance to finish the book on the plane ride to Florida.
Yes. I even
and what was...
would get through a chapter, and then I'd be like, you need to read this. Hand it to my husband.
Nice.
You got to read this chapter.
Well, and I like that
the
chapters are really short, and it's not like this overwhelming information. It's very concise and simple. You know what he's talking about. It's digestible in like little pieces. You can just spend 10 minutes and read and then be done for the day if you want to, which I, as a mom, I am appreciative of that.
love the book. Because, I mean, I think a lot of it is stuff that I've learned over the years, but I love the way that he brought it down into, like, a smaller version.
Yeah.
Just easier to understand. And I like the reminder. Like, I need to reread these things because, like, you know these things. But, like, you need the reminder of that stuff. And also was helpful, even though a lot of the stuff I've learned over the years, a reminder as I was reading it, as I think of different people in my lives that are going through different things or acting in certain ways, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, oh, you know, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you know. So it was just I think it's a great book. I'm definitely going to be recommending it to all my clients. I'm excited to talk to him because there's so many things that he talked about in the book that, like, I kind of want to elaborate a little bit on.
Right. Another interview where we could probably get, like, 4 interviews out of this one topic at least.
Oh, yeah. Well, and interesting, you know, you can, it's all, I think when you first read the book, and you first start experiencing the things that you can do when you change your mindset, when you look at things differently, when you change things, is great. But it's the challenge to continually stay in that path.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'd like to see, like, what his suggestion is to keep people on that path. I mean, that's what I do as a health coach, is try and help people stay on those paths that are so hard to stay on. They're easily, you know, you're taken off path pretty fast.
Right.
Just simply because of the world we live in.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and too, don't you feel like one of the biggest things that I've, you know, like you said, you know, these things are kind of like swirling around in your brain. Like some of the things, just seeing it in print, I was like, oh yeah, of course. I mean, that makes sense. And that's what I've thought, but I've never either written it down or seen it in words. It was kind of just in my brain somewhere swirling around. But one of the things that's really become apparent to me now that I've read it like 3 times now, and then, you know, being on social media, is leaving your ego, right? Like, your ego is the one that's judging people, that's judging yourself. That's like, this is who I am. Like, you are an activist, you are a food person, you're a this, you're like, no, you're not. Like, that, those are just things that you're doing right now, but that's not actually who you are. So separating yourself from that, like, especially when you're interacting with people who don't necessarily agree with you, when you find a difference in opinion or perspective, to be able to separate yourself from your ego if you can, and be like, I am not a foodie, I am not this, I'm this person with feelings, and those are just titles that I've given myself to kind of fit in a certain place, or, you know, I can plug myself in here because we share this interest, but it really isn't me. If I discontinue being a foodie, I'm still who I am with the same feelings and heart and mind and whatever. It's just, I've taken away that title. Now I've changed my interest or changed my, you know, focus.
Right, and I actually agree with you on that, and that's a struggle too for people, because people start to identify with what they are. I think this happens to a lot of moms. I mean, anything that you do that you have a name, you know, that's attached to it. Like, if you switch from that, or, like, say you're a mom and your kids go off to college and you're all alone, you know, empty nester, same thing. Like, they start to have these identity issues because they're like, You know, I was taking care of all these kids for so long. Now what am I, you know, who am I? What, you know, and I just think that is something that we all would benefit from, just not putting self-worth into it, because we can change things. Because,
absolutely.
You know, and that's where I struggled, actually, when I switched careers from the dental field, you know, out of the dental field, like, because that's what I was good at. That's what I felt like super, you know, in. And so when I switched, it was really hard to find my self-esteem again, because I was like, what am I now?
Mm-hmm.
What am I? You know?
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, as much as I loved being in dentistry, I've learned so much from the next 5 years after that, that I learned how to be more present.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to be more secure in just who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of those things. So I just love his idea. And certainly I have work to do, as you heard from my story.
Oh, yeah. No, me too. No, absolutely. We all do. That's the thing. And to think that you don't, if someone thinks they don't, like they've arrived, you haven't. Like if you think you've arrived and you're done, or that you found the thing, or the thing you're supposed to do and the person you're supposed to be, you haven't. Because it's just human nature to fall into these. Yeah. The saddest thing probably that I'm seeing is, you know, when people state, I am a blank, and therefore I can't communicate with people who aren't a blank. And it's like, again, what if you're not, though? What if tomorrow you wake up and have this revelation and you're like, I don't want to do that anymore. And now I've cut all these people out of my life, or I've refused to talk to them, or I've approached them with anger and with hostility. And now I'm not that anymore. I mean, it's happened to me. So it happens to people. So I think we need to be mm-hmm. really careful about, well, I'm a this, there's no way I'd have anything in common with that person, because they're a that. And it's like, whoa, though, wait just a minute. You know?
Yeah, I think that, yes, definitely. But there's also a balance, because if someone comes at you like that, then you don't necessarily want
to. Oh, yeah, that doesn't mean to like not be able to have a conversation, or like you don't even want to associate with people who are, you know, what, pick a topic. One person's over here, one person's over here, and they say, I don't want to even have I can't even talk to them because they think this. And it's like, well, but that's not who they are. That's just what they think right now. You know, I mean,
right.
You can't
exactly.
shut down a conversation or refuse to talk. I mean, you can, but like have a nice lonely life then, because, you know, that's not realistic.
And learning too. I like talking to people, and I like learning from people a lot.
I do too.
I think I get most of my knowledge comes from interacting with people.
Absolutely.
So,
well, and that's when you see, like, no, they're just, they have all these experiences and all these things that contributed to make them who they are at that particular moment, and so do you. And you're going to find your paths have crisscrossed in different experiences so many times before.
Actually, that's what one thing that I've always found maybe is my weakness, like, if, and it's not really a weakness, maybe it's a strength, or maybe it's just what it is, but anytime, like, I have these moments of like frustration or something else is happening for someone, like I'm constantly thinking like, oh, well, maybe it's because they're going through this, or maybe
mm-hmm.
they're going through something, or maybe I triggered something in them that they need to work on, and maybe they
right.
triggered something in me that I need to work on, and maybe this was just a sign, just like in the book,
mm-hmm.
that this is something I need that hasn't been dealt with yet.
Right.
But most people aren't at a level where they're like, oh, I should really look at this and see why this happened.
It's kind of freeing, though. Don't you
yeah.
think? I mean, to me, it's like, it's not, you would think it would be from the outside to all of a sudden be open to not changing who you are, but just like not defining yourself by what you do or who you associate with. That would be an insecure feeling, but it's actually a very secure and freeing feeling, because you realize you can develop into anything and kind of like, I feel like I could probably connect with almost anybody, to all issues aside, just on being like a human being, you know, and that's a good feeling. That's an empowering feeling. It's not an insecure, where do I fit in feeling. It's like, it doesn't matter. We'll figure out a place to talk where we're both comfortable. It's fine.
No, yeah. I mean, I still have lots of work to do, but it's nice now, at least I can, as it's happening, be able to be like, hey, wait.
Yeah.
You know, like, I see this is happening. You know, I haven't gotten to the point where I can stop it from happening yet, but I
right.
always know in the moment that there's something else happening in there that's triggering everything. So,
well, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back with Stephen Hebert of Be Yourself and Be Well. So you are turned into Connected Revelation on Freedomizer Radio with Annie Booker and Joyce Hope. We will be back in a few minutes.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to wefunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today. And get your money on mission.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty'sGardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits like eating wholesome foods, and with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
Welcome back to Connected Revelation on Freedomizer Radio. I am your host, Annie Booker.
And I'm Joyce Hope.
And with us right now, we have Dr. Stephen Hebert, chiropractor and owner of Be Yourself and Be Well. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you, Annie. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I have had the advantage of being able to ask you questions before, so I feel like I'm at an unfair advantage because I already know some of the answers, but I will ask questions anyhow.
Well, that's wonderful, and you know what? I'll tell you a secret, Annie, about me. When you ask me questions, you're quite likely to get a little bit different answer every time.
Well, that's the way it should be, right? Because things are always fluid and always changing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And part of the fun in answering questions is finding out how I'm going to answer.
I have to share with you something that came up a few weeks ago at a meeting I was at, and I wanted to just hand this woman your book and be like, you need to read this. And she was expressing how frustrating it was as she got older to have conversations or relate to people who were not, you know, did not agree with her on certain issues. And I just wanted to like take her and be like, you are not your issues. You aren't this like little box who, you know, environmentalist and this and that, like you are just you. Put all that, who cares? Put all that away and just relate to people one-on-one. It'll be fine. It doesn't matter. And then I wanted to give her your book, but I thought that'd be kind of rude.
Well, you know,
evil,
I've been known to just give people my book as well. You know, I don't know if it's rude or not, but,
yeah, right.
You know.
So I need to buy a case so I can keep them in my car. And
you
then I'll just be like, this is a book for you. This is a book
right.
for you.
Well, that's wonderful. I, of course, am all for it. And I just received the shipment of a second printing. I had just about completely run out of books and was kind of scrambling. But now I have a new supply, a new stock, so I have all you want.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome. And, you know, let everybody know, Stephen, where you work right now. Where can they get your book?
You can get my book three places. One, from Annie Booker. Two, you
that's
can
right.
get it from me directly. I also have it available on Amazon.
Okay.
And if you happen to be in St. Paul or surrounding area and you want to just come to my office, which is in the Midway Hamlin neighborhood, you can get one from me directly and I'll even sign it for you. Otherwise, just go to Amazon and you can get it there.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah,
first question, I guess, second question. Everyone wants to know, so you're a chiropractor by trade, but you kind of refer to yourself as more than that, more of a, I don't know, spiritual healer or a all-encompassing type practitioner. Did your practice start that way, or did it evolve to be that way after you finished with going to school to be a chiropractor?
Ooh, great question. Thanks for asking. It's some of both. So I grew up with chiropractic. My father was a chiropractor. My uncle, my father's only brother, also went to chiropractic college. He did not continue in practice. But anyway, so I had that foundation. I grew up with chiropractic. However, much of my childhood, my father was more of a traditional chiropractor, you know, just adjust people, and that was about it. But then as I got a little bit older, he started exploring some other things. And one of the things that he started to explore was using muscle strength testing as a diagnostic tool, the whole applied kinesiology thing in chiropractic. And quite honestly, that transformed things and is what really got my attention about thinking, hey, this is cool, this is really great, and might be something I really want to do. So along with that, then, when I was in chiropractic school, because I already had experience with all of this stuff, I started going to conferences and classes outside of school. I don't know, by the time I was maybe a third of the way or a half of the way through school. And so from the very beginning, I had a much broader perspective on practice and what could happen and the things that were possible, and bringing things like diet and nutrition and nutritional supplements and energetic stuff into my practice. Although at the time I had no idea really where this was all going to take me. And it's been a gradual unwinding kind of transformation for me at the same time. So yes, to a certain degree, starting from day one, a much more broad, holistic perspective, and it has just grown and expanded from there.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I am just immensely grateful for everything.
Did you see as your dad introduced, you know, different kind of modalities of healing into his practice, were you able to see the results of that then?
Well, you know, one of the things that happened for me was my own personal experience.
Okay.
And, you know, going back to, oh my goodness, I was probably, I don't know, late teens at the time, something like that, no more than 20. And, I was just getting a bunch of headaches, and I had been for a while and had no idea why, and was speaking with my father about that, and he did some muscle testing and of all things discovered that I was just eating too many bananas.
interesting.
Okay, great, too many bananas. So I stopped eating the bananas, and almost instantly I stopped having headaches as well. And I'm like, now that is really cool. And it was, you know, it's such an experiential thing to mm-hmm. be strong and then introduce something like a piece of banana and then be instantly weak in your physical body response. It's just the craziest phenomena. And that, again, is part of really what really got my attention. It's like, oh my goodness, you can do that simply and easily and identify for me that, you know, it's these bananas that are for some reason triggering these headaches and, mm-hmm. and it doesn't cost anything and we can do it in 2 minutes. That's amazing. I want to do that.
It really is incredible how simple that stuff can be sometimes.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And with so many things, it's really, you know, having the experience is so much more powerful than just talking with somebody else or reading about it or something like that. I mean, those things are good, but when you really have that palpable experience for yourself, it makes such a difference.
Yeah, we experienced that a little bit with our oldest, who you know, Stephen. And
yes.
he went from you know my children, and they're very healthy and vibrant, and then all of a sudden, like, he wasn't. And it wasn't anything in particular. It was just this, like, weird energy and getting a stuffy nose and, like, some allergy symptoms. And it was just, we ate so well, and we were outside getting vitamin D and exercising. And for him, it was like, we took out nightshades and we took out fruit, and all of us, within, no kidding, 3 days, he was back to normal. And it was like, it was so simple. I mean, at the time it seemed overwhelming, but like, what a simple fix. And it resolved itself when we were able to work stuff back in. But it, like you said, it actually cost me less money to, like, not buy organic fruit. And, you know, didn't
yes.
have chili once a week. And then it was like, then he was fine. And it was
yes.
really
yes.
the weirdest thing ever.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I can relate. I know all about that, and so yeah, it's just a wonderful thing to discover.
Yeah. So in your book, I'm just going to read one of my favorite parts, and I've talked to you about this before, but So the first time I went through the book, I read it kind of quickly, which you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to read it slowly and in sections. So then the second time I went through and bookmarked it all over the place. But it talks about your body following the lead of your self. And we've seen this, we've heard it happen in the news, right? A man dies of a heart attack and his wife dies later of a broken heart. And people are like, oh, that's so sad. But it's real. And in your book, you say your body will follow your lead. If you limit yourself, you limit your body. Your body will suffer and end up in sick or in pain. Without the strength of your spirit, your body cannot be healthy. And that is just so, like, it almost makes me tear up because it's so, again, like the simple concept of thoughts and what we tell ourselves and who we identify ourselves to be affecting your physical state. And my question following that is, like, so I told Joyce, like, that thought has been circling my brain for literally 20 years. I'm not kidding. 20 years I've been like, this has to be a real thing, but there's not like this quote unquote science to prove it, but you see it happen all the time. What inspired you to write about this? I mean, that's the whole book. Book goes into that. And so, like, I just put your whole book into one paragraph. I'm sorry, but that's like my favorite paragraph in the whole thing. And it almost makes me cry every time I read it because it's like, pay attention, people. Pay attention.
Yes, well, you know, Annie, that is just a wonderful thing. Thank you for reading that and asking the question. It, you know, quite honestly, my little secret is listening to you read that back to me, I'm tearing up.
Yeah, it's incredible.
You know, just because it absolutely, it is, that is really the essence of the book right there. And, you know, one of the funny things about writing this is that, you know, really when you distill it down, I pretty much just have one simple little message like that. And so basically what I did was find about 400 different ways to write that message, and I just wrote it over and over again. which is kind of a fascinating experience all by itself. But, you know, the path that I'm on here, you know, it's kind of like, for me, it's a little bit like saying and acknowledging that really this whole thing, meaning my work, the book, all of it, more or less I feel like has chosen me and mm-hmm. not me choosing it. And so when I step back and sort of observe and get out of the way and watch what happens and what has been happening with people as I work with them, that basic concept just becomes and became a while ago for me just so absolutely undeniable that it is at the foundation of everything. And then the more I would look around and read what other people have written and pick up little quotes here and there and, you know, learn about other people's experience, it would all just be reinforced again and again and again. You know, I'm reminded of a quote from Rumi that I put in the book, and I have several quotes from Rumi that start chapters just because they are so fundamentally profound, and his way of expressing it is so meaningful. But he, you know, he writes, "The body resembles a garment. You know, go seek the one who wears it. Don't kiss a piece of cloth. You know, mm-hmm. it's the same thing." And really, your body, my body, anybody's body, these bodies of ours basically do what they're told.
Yeah.
You know, and our body models itself after the messages it's being given. And by and large, we have two options for our messages. One is coming from the voice of the ego, you know, mm-hmm. which is your thinking mind and all your thoughts. And the other one is really the voice of your true self, which, you know, we could call your spirit or maybe your soul or whatever kind of words you like for that. But it's this deeper energetic voice. And, you know, my suggestion is, by and large, when your body is following and modeling itself after the voice of your ego, it's modeling itself after the voice of stress and distress and trauma and negativity and all this junk, and your body almost like just doesn't even know what to do and almost really can't be vibrant and healthy because it's following this voice of unhealth. On the other hand, you know, the stronger and the more connected you get with the voice of your true self, you know, that voice is really it's the essence of well-being. It's the essence of contentment. It's kind of the essence of health. And so, it's a sort of a matter of kind of recognizing that, and then purposely choosing to do everything that you can to move away from all of those thoughts that lead to the stress and the distress and the ill health and the poor performance and everything that goes along with it, and purposefully choosing to listen and accentuate that what is often a deeper, quieter, still sort of voice, but that, you know, really speaks the language of health and well-being.
Yeah,
did I answer
it is
your question?
Choice.
I have no idea.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And I love that you, it's the choice, right? I remember being like in college and, you know, not really understanding anything about myself, because even though I was a grown up, I did not feel like it. And then finally one day, like, you know, after some tragedy and trauma and just being like, you know what, I've got to figure out, like, am I going to wake up and just want to kind of invest in myself and be happy? Do I want to be a happy person or not? And I was in college. It had nothing to do with food or exercise or whatever. It was me deciding I'm going to either be a negative person or I'm going to be a happy person. And I just chose happy. Like, no, I'm just going to wake up and be happy and see the bright side, even if there isn't one. And that's just how I'm going to be. And it made a gigantic difference. People actually wanted to hang out with me then.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, one that brings up another thought for me, which is, you know, one of the outside reasons and purposes, I think, for my book and others like it, and this is true of my experience, and I think it's true for many people, is that we just never really stop to consider this stuff.
No.
So, you know, if I go back... If I go back 30 years in my life, I had no idea who I was.
Right.
I was not even remotely connected to my true self. I was not even remotely connected to the things that I know today. And, you know, I think it just so many of the powers and pressures and influences of our culture, our world, the way we are, the things we spend our time on, it just keeps us really focused in the realm of the intellect and the ego. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, there's a lot of good stuff about that. But the trouble is, as I see it, we're just really out of balance. You know, we've gotten to the point where we're kind of like 99.9% ego and maybe 0.1%, you know, true self. And we don't even really know for sure what that is or how to get there. And so we just kind of go along with the status quo and wonder why things aren't working out. And
right.
So, you know, more or less it's just my little attempt at, you know, adding to the voices that are out there saying, hey, you know, there are other ways and stop and maybe pay a little attention and slow down a little bit and look inward, and amazing things can happen if you do.
Absolutely. I loved that so much about your book. I finished it up when I was flying down here. I'm in Florida, and go through sections, and I would like it so much, I'd hand over the book to my husband and say, you need to read that chapter.
Oh, my goodness.
and then he would be done reading it, and then he'd hand it back to me, and then I'd read a couple more, and then I'd be like, oh, you got to read this one now. ones that I felt were very poignant to exactly where he is in life, I would just be like, this message is for you. Because,
nice. And he was good with that?
Yes. I didn't say that's why I was handing it over to him. I just simply said, I think you should read this. And then I let it go. I didn't say, like, now do you see why this is why your life should be, you know what I mean? I just let him
read
it.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Then, like, let him decide for himself whether he was in a place to take it in or if he was just going to let it go. So, you know, but I just, it's stuff that I've learned over the years. I love the way that you talk about how our body is just basically our vessel here on earth, and that it does what we say. And I was like, this, he knows And it's I love the way you wrote it. I like that it's a good read that people can get, hopefully work through over time. But also if someone's wanting to go through it really fast, they certainly could too, and then come back through and do more of the work.
Yes, absolutely. I hear, like Annie said, you know, I hear back from people fairly often that same sort of story. You know, you get the book, you pick it up, and you want to just read through it, and it's easy to do that. You know, it's a short, simple book. The chapters are short and easy. So, you know, I haven't tried, but you can probably pick it up and read it in a couple of days and be done. And you know, that's okay. It would be my preference for people to take their time, but then I'll also hear that same story where, yeah, I picked it up, I read through it, and now I'm coming back, and now I'm taking my time. And, you know, it just thrills me to no end when I hear back from somebody, oh, yeah, your book is sitting right there on the table next to my bed, and I just pick it up from time to time and open it up, and lo and behold, that's just exactly what I needed. I tell you that's like, okay, that does it for me right there. That mm-hmm. It just couldn't be any better. So, you know, you can use it however you want. Everybody is going to use it a little bit differently. It's going to speak to some people. It might not speak at all to others. Some people will like it. Some people may go, ho-hum, you know, no big deal. And, you know, that's just the way everything in the world is.
Absolutely. So how do you integrate this book or these kind of practices into your business? If someone goes on your website and makes an appointment to get a chiropractic adjustment, you know, tell us what that looks like. Tell us how this sort of thing can kind of work into their whole, the bigger experience that you provide.
Ooh, that is a wonderful question. Thank you for asking. For me, this kind of this wisdom, this perspective, it's kind of this way of being, influences me on every level. And so for me, just the way it's going to affect even just the way I am going to be with someone. So, but then from there, it just extrapolates out. So the way I choose to work is really significantly different than your kind of your average typical chiropractor in so many ways. My regular office visits, I set aside an hour for each person.
Wow.
And so even if I'm working with someone who is coming in just for the chiropractic care, for the physical body adjusting work, I still set aside an hour to be with them. And I will regularly, well, the first thing that I want to do with anybody who comes in, you know, I want to say hi and chat a little bit and mm-hmm. get a feel for what's going on, get a feel for where they are, hear the story about their symptoms and what's been happening. And so, and you know, I guess maybe I'm just kind of slow and I like to take my time. And so I want to have time to be able to do that and not just quickly bring you in and get in and get you on the table and adjust you real quick and get you out again. That's just not my, I just don't like that. I don't want to do that. I want to take my time. And so then for me, the adjusting work that I do, it's really a process of following you and your body and allowing you and your body to direct me in the work that I'm doing with you. And the way I see it, even the physical adjusting work, it's kind of an unfolding, unwinding, sort of flowering kind of process where any part of your body could be needing attention at any time. So there's really not any part of your body that I won't or don't adjust, and I'm willing to adjust any part at any time. And so instead of me deciding, okay, I'm going to adjust this, and then I'm going to adjust that, and then I'm going to do this because that's what I think needs to happen, what I am attempting to do is just pay attention to you and your body on a much deeper level. You know, someone might call it sort of on an intuitive knowing level. And so subsequently, as I'm working with someone, I might do some work in their neck, and then I might find myself working with their hip, and then I might be up to their head, and then I might be down to your wrist, and then we might be in your back. And that whole thing, it usually takes a while. And if possible, it's always my preference as well to work until the work is done and we sort of reach this point of kind of ease and balance that's just lovely. Also, for me, even if I'm just doing physical work with somebody, my bottom line sort of purpose and approach, my goal, if you will, is to help people be themselves. And so what I am wanting to do, even working through your body, is make contact with the real you, your true self, your spirit, if you will, and do whatever we need to do, whatever I can do to help sort of set that free and wake things up and stir you up and get you going. And so the physical work is like that. Now, I also, with the more direct sort of spiritual energetic work, a lot of that looks a little bit kind of like a therapy session for a lot of people, except I'm not a therapist, I'm not a psychologist, but I might sit and talk with somebody, mostly them talking, me listening, and, you know, I might end up spending a couple hours with those people because the talking, the telling the story, the listening is just incredibly important. And for me, I am going to listen from this kind of spiritual, energetic perspective to listen for where the disturbances are in the story that you're telling me, and hopefully help you find your way to discover how the stories of your ego are keeping you from being yourself and doing what you want to do. And that process then really unlocks things in your body and allows me to do things with your physical body that I wouldn't otherwise be able to do. So in my practice, in my work, I kind of have two different camps of people. One group, they come in because I'm a chiropractor, they want the physical work, they want the structural stuff, and that's pretty much what we do. And even that, the way I adjust people in work is significantly different. And like I said, I spent a long time. And then there are other people who are coming because they've talked to somebody, they know about the spiritual aspect, and they come in because they have a story to tell, and they don't know what to do. You know, I'm reminded of a woman that came in a while ago, and the reason that she came in was that she's married, has a family, and in her work she was working with this other man, and one thing led to another, and this man kissed her, and she found herself surprised by this, kissing him back rather passionately, which absolutely flipped her out, and she did not know what to do with that, what was going on, why that would happen, and she came in here with that story.
Mm-hmm.
And that experience and that story for this person ended up being an absolute turning point in her life. Now, here we are, I don't know, several years later, and we have continued to work on a regular basis, and she has completely and totally changed and transformed herself and her life. And it came out of having that weird experience that she had no idea what to do with or what was going on. And so people come with that. People come because their back hurts. People come because their neck hurts. And sometimes people come because they kiss somebody and it freaked them out. You know, it's all, and everything in between.
That's awesome. Okay, that's a really interesting segue. We're going to take a really quick break and then for a couple commercials, and then we're going to come back. Let Joyce have a word in here. I have so many questions.
What?
So I'll give her
we're
going
to let Joyce have a word?
I know.
Oh, I get
so
to talk.
Hard.
I get to talk today.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Quick commercial break. We'll be right back on Connected Revelation.
My name is Dr. Eric Norman. I have studied vitamin B12 deficiency for over 35 years. I have developed the urinary MMA test to detect tissue B12 deficiency early, allowing treatment and prevention of permanent disability. B12 deficiency can cause anemia, but also neurologic problems such as spinal cord degeneration, paranoia, and dementia. B12 is found only in animal sources, so vegetarians become deficient. As people age, they may not produce enough stomach acid or intrinsic factor protein for absorption of B12 and become deficient. Up to 10% of seniors may have a normal serum B12 level, but a tissue B12 deficiency causing a 3 times greater risk for heart attack, stroke, or Alzheimer's. For more information, visit B12.
Where you grow with no pesticides. I got to box it up. Yeah. I like the way you grow with so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it. No diggity, no doubt.
We've got squash and peas. Calling it a pack for all your bees. Melons you wanna squeeze. Yes, please. Yes, please. Hey, now that plant looks good. I want to grow it. I want to taste it. You're my kind of girl.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden, peacefulbelly.com. Support your local organic farmer.
Welcome back to Connected Revelation on Freedomizer Radio. I am your host, Annie Booker.
And I'm Joyce Hope.
And with us today, we have Dr. Stephen Hebert, chiropractor and author of Be Yourself and Be Well. And as promised, I will now let Joyce ask a couple of questions.
Well, first of all, Stephen, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on our show, one, and number two, write the book, or maybe vice versa. I found this book so profound, as I said. Maybe it sounded like I wanted my husband to read it because he needed to change, but it was more when I read things that are super poignant or really interesting to me, I like look for the nearest person to share it with, and of course, I try to share it with my kids, but they don't really quite pick up on it yet. So share it with my husband or anybody that's near me because I love reading. It's such a profound book. So I wanted to ask, you're a chiropractor and I'm a health coach, and our two careers kind of are on the same path line, but I wanted to ask, how do people who, after they read this book, and they feel as strongly as I do or Annie does, how do you deal with the ebbs and flows of life when people like love what you wrote but have a hard time putting it into practice? how do you do that, work with that with your clients?
Yeah, good question. You know, that is, and I, as a health coach, I'm sure that you can really appreciate this. Every person is unique in that regard. And the answer to that question is very much individual. And every person is going to be a little bit different in the action that they might want or need to take, the advice that I might give them. And really, the best advice for me is going to come after spending some time with someone and listening to them, listening to what they have to say, listening to their story, getting a feel for who they are, how they are, why they might be there, which will then usually lead to, you know, and kind of the way I experience is it will, as I am able to sit with someone and listen, and for me, listening is not just listening with my ears, but it's kind of like listening with my whole being. My job is to just kind of set everything aside, kind of set aside my own thoughts even, and just be with that person as much as possible. And almost always at some point in our conversation, something will strike me. It will occur to me. I will either suddenly have this question that I really need to know the answer to, or something will come to me, oh, we need to do this. And it usually will be very clear. Ahead of time, I have no idea what that might be. But once we get there, it's usually very clear, and then we can speak about that. So, you know, for some people, it might just be simply, you know, starting to develop a meditation practice. For someone else, it might be writing their story. For someone else, it might be speaking with someone. Or someone else, it might be making a commitment to go somewhere or do something. It's kind of hard to say what it might be, but it usually there's going to be kind of a step that's gonna get things going, and it can sometimes it just can be super simple what that thing is, but it's the right thing to kind of get that energy moving, get that ball bouncing, get things to change. I'd say across the board, you know, if I was going to make one recommendation for kind of what I'm writing about, it's that, you know, more than anything else, we have to kind of start to slow down and be quiet and listen a little bit less to all of the noise of the outside world and turn inward a little bit more and start to pay attention to, you know, to your own inner voice that's kind of like down below your neck for the most part, and kind of start to tune out that noisy raucous in your head that's speaking, you know, 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you're go ahead.
I love your approach, and I think that's something that a lot of people need. I see a very big need for what you do in working with clients and really listening to them and helping them, guide them to those spots. Because a lot of people don't struggle, like myself, and why I ended up being a health coach was because I struggled so much figuring it out on my own. Like, I wanted to figure it out on my own, but I didn't make much progress until I started working with someone myself, someone like you. That, you know, that could really help see the situation. So I appreciate what you do, and I think, would you like to give out some more information about your business, any ways that people can get a hold of you? Because I just think what you're doing is amazing.
Oh, my goodness, Joyce, thank you for saying so. Yes, that is a wonderful compliment. Yes, so I do have a website. It is drstephenhebert.com. The doctor is abbreviated DR, and my first name is Stephen with a V, and my last name is Hebert, H-I-E-B-E-R-T. So drstephenhebert.com, you can find my website there. I keep a public Facebook page. It is also Dr. Stephen Hebert with the doctor abbreviated. So if you're on Facebook, you can check out my Facebook page there too. I'm pretty active on that. I don't do a lot personally with Facebook, but with my public page, I put a post up most every day, something little and inspirational, and you can follow me there. And if you're wanting, my phone number is 651-777-9156. Again, 651-777-9156. And I work all by myself. I don't have anybody answering the phone for me. So if you do happen to call, just be prepared to get my voicemail, and you can leave a message for me, and I will get back to you soon.
Wonderful. And then remind us again how we can get the book, which I recommend. I know, Joyce, you probably are going to have some for people that come to you. And I'm close to Roseville and close to Stephen as well. So if people would like to get the book and would like me to grab a bunch, I'm happy to do so.
Yes. Yeah, the book's available through me directly, or, contacts like you, Annie, or it's also available on Amazon. Although, because I'm a little fish in a massive ocean, you have to search specifically "Be Yourself and Be Well," and the self is a separate word, not yourself as one word, but yourself to get to it. But it's there and it's available, and I think they have some in stock at this point.
Wonderful.
Oh, and that reminds me too. If you're able to get the book for me directly right now, and you're listening to this show, I am happy to give it to you for $10. The cover price is $15.95, but I want to get it into your hand. I want you to read it. I am all about that, and so I'm making it available at that discounted price. And if you happen to want to come in and experience the work that I do directly, I'm also offering initial sessions at a $25 discount for people as encouragement to come in and give it a whirl.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. So generous.
You're welcome.
We appreciate you joining us today. We hope that we can have you back again, because I have more questions, hours of more questions.
Oh, well, I have hours of more answers, Annie, so
wonderful.
We're a perfect match.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
I love it.
I would love to be back on, and maybe we'll let Joyce ask more than one question.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No,
what do you think, Joyce?
Maybe.
I am
I
hard,
like
though.
Listen, I mean, yeah. I mean, I was so fascinated, and Annie was on point with questions that I was happy. I just want to keep listening. I'm a listener today.
All right.
That's great. So, thank you so much, Stephen, for joining us, and have a wonderful rest of your weekend.
Oh, thank you. I expect I will.
All
bye
right.
Bye,
Stephen.
All right, bye. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right. That was, wasn't it an awesome interview?
Oh, my gosh. He is, I have to meet him. I have to meet him.
I know. I really am. Like, I keep going to his website to schedule an appointment. I'm like, wait, no, I need to find out schedules so I can get in, because I've known Stephen for 10 and a half years. And so, like, I met him when my oldest was, I don't know, maybe 6 months old, younger than that. I'm not sure, but we go way back. And so, like, in friendship, and then in this, it's very, this is who he is. And it's wonderful. It's great. You do, if people are listening and aren't sure, like, who are these people that we have on the show? We know these people. We know their hearts. We know their work. These are the people you need to meet. and Stephen is one of those people.
Yeah, I mean, I highly recommend his book. It's a really easy read. It is worth way more than he charges for that book in regards to what it can do for changing your mindset and just even changing the way that you view your life.
Yeah.
And that has a ripple effect for everything from, you know, your body health, your, you know, mind, body, soul health or spirit or however it is. And honestly, I it was divine timing with reading his book because it was exactly what I needed in that moment. Like you said, he hears it a lot, but I mean, it seriously was. And I have to read it again.
I'm on my third I'm on my third or fourth time through, and mine has like coffee spills on the front because I read it in the morning before my kids are up, and like the pages are all bent, and it's because I will, you know, open up to my favorite chapter or passage and then read a little bit further, and I'll go back to the beginning. It's pretty incredible.
You know, the book really reminded me, even talking to him today, reminded me that I really need to work on my centering practice in the beginning of the day, like getting prepared instead of like just run, just, you know, taking that time to meditate and bring yourself in the full focus, because it really does make a huge difference in how your day goes.
Yeah, and sometimes that requires, we have kids. That sometimes requires being, you know, getting up earlier, like before you know that they're going to be up, because, you know, as soon as their little feet hit the floor, you're off and running. That's just being a parent.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing, I've been talking to my husband a lot this week about what is our ideal vacation like. This has been fun, but, like, in some ways it misses the mark a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure for the kids, they think it's amazing and it's great, but like it's more of a traveling experience for us as parents and a vacation for the kids.
Right.
And so I'm like, and after talking to him, I realized that I think this a lot is like, I just want to go on like a meditation retreat, you know, like somewhere where I can go, eat really good food for me and spend time on those things. And so I have now pictured my ideal vacation.
That's so true.
You know, it's something that the way that the world is designed, like, you know, he mentioned, and I say this a lot too, it's not really designed for us to truly find ourselves, I feel like.
Well, no, it's
like a distraction.
Well, it's designed to create a permanent state of like discontent so that you always feel like you're not doing enough, or you haven't done this, or you haven't been there. Oh, I need to visit this place. I have to do this. My kids need to experience this before this time. And it's that, state of discontent all the time. And it's a huge moneymaker, right? We're always buying crap and going places we don't really need to go and spending money.
Right.
And instead of just like, how about we just go somewhere and like do nothing? How about that? And just let it, you want to go to the beach today? Let's do that. You want to do puzzles today and do nothing else? Let's do that. I mean, that wouldn't even register as a thing to do on the vacation scale. But to me, like when we go on vacations now, that's what it is. Like there's no entertainment unless something just happens to pop up, because it's not, I need to enjoy it too as a mom. And it's not a break, right? Because I'm still cooking and cleaning and caring for the kids. So it's not like a break, but it needs to be a mental break of, I don't want to be running places. I don't want to be buying crap. I want to just enjoy it. Do whatever life gives you.
I know. You nailed it on the head there. So I'm so glad you brought him to the show, because I just think he was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's great. I went to a book club and I invited him to a book club and recommended his book. And we sat there in this group of people. And for me, when I go to events, it feels a lot of times I'm putting on the show, right? I'm organizing, and then you interface with people, but you're not necessarily connecting on a deeper level. And after people read this book and we sat in this circle with, I knew two people or three people in that whole circle, but the way we were able to connect on a deeper level because of the content of the book and because people were ready to receive that information was one of the most like moving experiences in my adult life. And it was just a book club. It was like 30 minutes, you know, not meant to, I mean, probably not meant to be like life-changing, I'm sure, in that way. And it was like, wow, we were all there and open and ready to exchange these ideas and these feelings. And it was so incredible.
It sounds amazing. You know, the thing, I do a lot of this work on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of people that are real close to me that are on the same wavelength as me,
right,
in regards to this kind of thing. So that just sounds amazing, that book club where there's people in that same room.
Yeah, and you never know.
The same way you do.
Yeah, you know, because lots of things are very surface, right? Like how you eat or what supplements you're taking or how you exercise, or they're surface. Anyone can do it. It doesn't really take any self-reflection. It just takes, I don't know, more work. But this, where you're actually kind of like beating, you know, getting those walls down and becoming vulnerable and being okay with that, and then engaging with other people who are being vulnerable, is such a foreign thing in our society. I think it's very specific to, you know, this society. I think that, you know, it's maybe even seen as like weakness or, yeah, vulnerability and whatever. And it's not, it's, like I said, to me, it was very empowering to be like, cool, I can feel this way and be this way. And it's not me being weak. It's me being strong and me being, you know, real.
Right. Oh, I'm wondering when we can get him back on. But
well, we can't next week because we already have someone scheduled next week.
Yes. And who is that? Who do we have?
So next Sunday, again at 3:30 Central Standard Time, we have Kinetic Spiral. And Kinetic Spiral is a duo. We have Grace Zimmer and Tanner Williams. And they are, Grace is actually my niece. And her boyfriend are, if you've seen any of these, like Living Van Life, V-A-N, they're living life on the road. They're making money, doing their passion, and supporting themselves as they travel around the country, participate in different shows and farmers markets. They're meeting people. They are 20-something-year-olds that have decided that they do not want to take part in the status quo of taking on enormous amount of debt and buying a house, at least not right now. They don't want to be sitting in an office, at least not right now. They just want to figure out who they are and what they want to do with their lives, and figure out what they're good at and make money doing it. And they're making it happen. And it's really a cool thing.
That is a lifestyle I want to learn more about, because it sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's like my family's pretty close, and I had the wonderful opportunity of being a nanny or a babysitter to Grace. She was my niece, so it was like my little sister. I got a chance to take care of her and her little sister during my whole time in college and beyond. And so we're very close, and we've been able to communicate through this whole thing. And it's just a different experience than most, I think, 20-year-olds do. I mean, I think of like, oh, when you retire, you can travel around. Well, they're doing it now, and they're doing it, you know, on their own dime based on things that they create.
Yeah, that's amazing. Actually, I was talking to my husband. I got to talk to my husband a lot this weekend.
Yeah.
As we were, you know, going through like the water park yesterday, and seeing so many people who were, you know, you could tell they were in pain. They were struggling to move, or even in the airport, as people traveling, and you could just see it. And I feel for them because I think, gosh, they probably worked their entire life waiting to get to the moment where they could travel.
Yeah.
And then they're not getting,
right.
I mean, they're getting something out of it, but they're not getting as much as they could have if they would have had not had the stuff come up in their life.
Right.
And so, like, I was just like, oh, I feel for these people. I mean, I think it's so great they're traveling and they're doing all these things, but I want them to be able to experience life, like, without limitation.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like some of these, and they've said they've met other young people such as themselves, and to me, it's like, wow, how do you think of that? Because when I graduated high school in 1996, I mean, the path was you go to high school, you go to college. And back then, college was not astronomical as far as cost goes. So it wasn't, to me, it wasn't prohibitive to go there. And my parents paid for college and it wasn't a huge expense for them. So we aren't talking about like now where you're taking on perhaps hundreds of thousands worth of, you know, dollars worth of debt. So it was a little bit different, but you just did it. You went to high school, you went to college, you graduated, you get a job. I mean, that was just, I didn't even question that was the path I was going to do. I wanted to be a mom and stay home, but I knew I needed to like get a college degree first. So it's interesting to me to see these other paths that, you know, people are taking and be like, how did you even think of that? That would have never even entered into my sphere of, you know, consciousness to like, hey, I'm going to meet this person and we're going to have something in common. We're going to make stuff and travel around. Like that wouldn't even cross my mind.
Well, I think the difference is there weren't a lot of people who were self-made, you know, big money makers. And not that I think this is about money at all, but like Mark Zuckerberg and different things like that were like, they went to school, but they dropped out and they have like all of this money. And I'm not saying like, but I'm just saying.
No, but other alternatives.
It's not about money. There's other alternatives. You don't have to go to college to be successful.
Right.
And so up until that point, there weren't a lot of successful people that were famous. There probably were successful people, but we just didn't know about.
We didn't hear about them. With all social media, though, you didn't hear about that kind of stuff.
Right. So I think it opened up the doors for people to look at life completely different than we had been taught.
Yeah,
I think social media
right.
and the internet in general has made a huge difference in how people live their lives now.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think, you know, I was raised to go to college. I mean, I went to technical school and then I've gone on to do other college work, but like that is really what they groom you or get you ready for when you're in high school. I mean, that's all they talk about.
Right. Right.
What do you know, these are what you need to get into this. You need to do this. You need to take this test to get into college. I mean, they don't talk to you about like getting a job. They don't talk to you about any of the other stuff.
No. Right. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. So they're going to, I mean, I know that obviously I know Grace, she's in my family and Tanner, we've talked many times, but you know, not on an interview level. Like I haven't, you know, asked them formal questions and I'm interested to hear their answers and, you know, see what they have to say. These young people, right. 20 years younger than us. See what's up. Like what's going on out there in the world? How are other people their age living and what's it like? What does the landscape look like out there? I'm interested to know.
All right. Well, we'll see them next week. Thanks for listening to Connected Revelations on Freedomizer Radio. Thank you for hanging out with me, Annie.
Yeah. Have a wonderful rest of your vacation. And we will talk to you, well, probably before next Sunday, but for sure next Sunday.
Sounds great. We'll see you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.